Let's take our Bibles and turn with me back to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Going through the Sermon on the Mount. And last Wednesday evening, I preached previously verses 1 to 5. And then I dealt last evening with verses 7 to 11. And realized I missed verse 6. And so, Lord willing, I'd like to deal with verse 6 this morning. Obviously, it was the Lord's will that I preach out of 7 to 11 last time, and verse 6 this morning. Our Lord, in Matthew 7, verse 6, says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." The Lord spoke to his disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Here's what he said: "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, having heard that command from the Lord, let me tell you what every God-called preacher holds dear to his heart: preaching the gospel. We know that the Lord has a sheep. We know that he has a people. We know that he, by his Holy Spirit, is going to call those sheep out of darkness through the preaching of the gospel. We know that. We don't know who the sheep are. And therefore, we assume that every message that we preach of the gospel, the proclamation of that which God Almighty has revealed in his word concerning the salvation of a people, marked out by that landmark, and he's going to have mercy and compassion toward. But when we preach the gospel, we know this: that some are going to hear and believe, and some won't. Now, we know that. Some will hear, and according to God's everlasting covenant of grace, they're going to hear that gospel to the eternal good of their soul, being regenerated by the power of God's Spirit. Some are going to hear, and they're not going to believe. Dead in heart, they're hearing in that day, the day of judgment, is going to be as a testimony against them. That's what the Lord told Chorazin and Bethsaida: "Woe to you. You heard. You heard the gospel, and you didn't believe." He said it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it is for you. Let me express something that I just said. If you hear the gospel and you don't believe it, in that day, that non-hearing is going to rise up in judgment against you. Ministers of the gospel, called to this sacred office, knowing that we cannot distinguish between the sheep of God and the children of the devil. I can't, you can't either. We preach the gospel to everybody. We command all men to repent. We don't have the ability to do it, If the Spirit of God's pleased to bless that word, He's going to bless it. And so we preach. Some, as I did, hear the gospel. And with an unyielding spirit to that truth, go on. For sometimes years. I've told you before, the first time I heard the gospel, I thought that was the most ridiculous message I ever heard in my life. How in the world could God in heaven be so unfair and not give every man a chance, still in my mind, giving all the glory to man? The Lord has declared this truth, John 14:15. If you love me, you keep my commandments. God's word is eternal. Heaven and earth, Matthew 24:35, shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, the Lord has given us some precious instruction in this Sermon on the Mount concerning the discretion of preaching the gospel. He's given us some discretion on preaching the gospel. He had said in verse 1 of chapter 7, judge not that you be not judged. Don't you judge the intent. He's told us to do that. Don't you judge the intent or the motive of something that someone is doing that's not specifically dealt with in Scripture. Don't judge their motive. Don't judge them. But right here he's telling us, don't you give that which is holy. And now, I'm going to tell you something. We've got something that's holy. I'm hearing it, and you are too. Hold your place right there. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Romans 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. We're dealing with something this morning that is holy. And it's the hearing of the gospel out of the holy scriptures. Now, the Lord is set forth in his holy scriptures that which we must heed. He says this, give not that which is holy. The holy scriptures, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And neither cast your pearls. That word right there means Proverbs. Neither cast your words of great value. Proverbs, the way that the Lord preached. Why do you preach in Proverbs? Why do you preach in parables? Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's not given to them. Don't give that which is holy. And we're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now he says, don't you give that which is holy unto dogs, and neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. That is, treat with rudeness and turn again and rend you. Now our Lord dealt with a situation in Matthew 15:26 about a woman. We've looked at this many times. I won't read the passage. I'll just read you some passages from it. But the Lord placed a great significance and difference between dogs in contrast to the elect. He said to that Syrophoenician woman, he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread Now, he's talking about an elect, the children. He's talking about his children. He says, it's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, he was talking to a Syrophoenician woman, a woman of Canaan, a Canaanite woman, an accursed land out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon, a cursed race, idolatrous people. But this woman, you know, knowing the story, was a vessel of God's mercy. She came out of a cursed people. The Lord was going to show her mercy. And what he did, he had this woman that came to him having thought in her mind that she was coming into his presence that she might seek mercy for her daughter. But in truth, the Lord drew her there. The Lord drew this woman that he might show mercy and compassion to her. So how often do we see the trials and the tribulation of this life to be the very instances of God's blessing to us? I thought to myself, surely after that woman was called out of darkness, how precious this passage of Scripture would be to her. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn of thy statutes. How many times if things come our way and we all of a sudden realize that this thing that we thought was so horrible turned and was revealed to be such a blessing. This woman was grieving. And she cried out unto the Lord for mercy. And he spoke a word that surely would have caused anyone else that wasn't being kept by the power of God through faith to leave. He said this when she cried out, my daughter's sick. And here's what he said. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now that was the truth, right? That was absolutely the truth. He was sent only to the lost sheep of God's people, God's elect. He preached divine electing grace to that woman. But that grace that drew her, that grace and power that held her, moved that woman to bow to him who rules in heaven and earth. It's not fit for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. That was a truth. That was an absolute truth. But here was the amazing thing. He was telling her the truth. It's not fit for me to cast the children's bread to dogs. But she wasn't a dog. He was just telling her the truth. It's not fit. But listen to what she said. Truth, Lord. What you said is truth. What does every believer, when they hear this, it's not fit that the bread of heaven should be cast to dogs. What has every believer said? Truth, Lord. Absolutely. Your truth. Truth, Lord. But, she said, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Do you want to know the evidence of one that's not truly a dog? They see themselves as being one. Everyone. That's a believer's heart. Truth, Lord. Yes, sir. I agree with you. That's my nature. Oh, wretched man that I am. You remember when Goliath came and he was going to come before David? David came over and didn't have armor. He had a sling in his hand. Goliath looked at him and he said, am I a dog? You think I'm a dog? That's the heart of one that truly is. One that denies that he is. This woman needed to be taught something about prayer. She needed him. And even when he truthfully proclaimed that he had not come to give the bread of the children to dogs, time proved this woman to be one that truly wasn't a dog, that the Lord forbid to give the bread to. This woman would not leave. She bowed. One that's not a dog, that's what they're brought to eventually. Before they leave this world, it's what they're going to. She bowed. O woman, the Lord said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very day. But surely, according to the word of the Lord, there comes a time when we're commanded back in Matthew 7, verse 6. He said, give not, that is, bestow not and commit not, that which is holy, this glorious gospel that we've been commanded to preach to all men. Don't give it to dogs. Don't cast your pearls. Don't cast the proverbs before swine. And this is where we need some instruction. We need some wisdom. We need some direction on this, because I'm telling you, the Lord is preaching that which is absolutely so. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. It's a time to every purpose under the heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says, there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Now concerning these dogs and the swine, how are we to discern who they are? The Lord has commanded us. You just don't give that which is holy unto dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine. You think he's saying something he didn't mean? No. He's saying exactly what he meant. What he said was absolutely what he commands. Philippians 3:2 tells us to beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, what is the evidence of a dog? When the Lord moved upon Paul to write to the church at Philippi, beware of dogs, evil workers, those of the concision. It's those that snarl at the truth of the gospel. Those wanderers and contentious and troublesome that bite with words of reproach and hatred toward this truth. There are men and women that hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and do what a natural dog does. He returns to his vomit. Like a fool that returns, the scripture says, to his folly. Spiritual dogs are those that hear the truth. Now listen. I'm telling you, Lord, please keep me from this. They hear the truth, they resist it. And unless the Lord does something for us, all men by nature like this. This is our nature. I'm telling you right now, this is what we are. And unless the Lord does something for us in regenerating grace, we're going to cling to our own wicked works of self-righteousness, and we're going to hate this gospel. We hate the God of this Bible. They're false prophets. Now, this is a dog. This is those that snarl at, that resist, that bite against the truth. Isaiah 56, verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 56. Verse 10 and 11. His watchmen are blind. They're ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. What is a dog? The scripture declares them to be ignorant. Ignorant of the truth. Clinging to their own way and not the way, the truth, and the life himself. The Lord said in Revelation 22:15, for without what? Without the camp, without the bride, are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Dogs without, outside of the body. Listen to 1 John 2:19. Here's what they'll do. They went out from us, they were not of us, for had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. These dogs and swine are those which have forsaken, the scripture says, 2 Peter 2:15, they've forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the sons of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Dogs and swine, unclean of those who forsake the right way, the gospel of truth. And they leave it for the rewards of their own unrighteousness and the greed of earthly mammon. Blindly, they'll follow the way of death over life. Well, this is the hard, it takes discernment to know this. Because I'm going to be honest with you, by the Lord's command, we preach the gospel to every creature. We tell them the truth. And when one comes to the point, and I don't know who they are. And I don't want to be disrespectful to the Lord's command to preach the gospel to every creature. And I don't want to be disobedient to the command to not cast my pearls before swine. Or don't give the children's bread to dogs. So when one is manifested, one that despises the gospel, what do we do? Now here's a point every believer comes to. And this is going to be an experience that all of us have. I guarantee you, every one of us has got people that we know in our families that don't know the Lord. What do we do? Well, what did the Lord say to do? This is my turn to Matthew 15. Hold your place in Matthew 7. Matthew 15, 7 to 14. Matthew 15, 7 to 14. Matthew 15, verse 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth and defileth that this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now look at these next words. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. What does the Lord command us to do when there is an open, blatant, forthright, I'll try to use all of the descriptive words that I know how. What do we do when someone makes it very clear, I'll not have that man that you're preaching rule over me. I'm going to preach the gospel to all men. I'm going to tell them the truth by the grace of God. I want to. And I pray that God bless it. I've got people in my family that don't know God. There's been people that has been here in this congregation and has left. What do you do? What do you do? Matthew 10:14 says, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Paul the Apostle, Acts 18. Acts 18:5-6. When Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now listen to what the Spirit of God moved upon Luke to pen in this book. Verse 5 again, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed. He was moved in his heart and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. What did he just say? He preached the gospel to them. He told them the truth. In verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment. He said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. They opposed themselves. What does that mean? They contradicted themselves. They said, I don't believe what you're saying. In closing then, what is the motive? When someone opposes, I'm telling you, as long as someone will hear what I'm saying, I'm going to tell you the truth. I want to tell you the truth. I ask the question the scriptures ask, why will you perish? But if somebody tells me, and I've had them tell me before, don't you talk to me about that anymore. You understand me? I don't believe what you're saying. Don't talk to me anymore. According to these scriptures, do you know what I'm to do? Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Someone says, yeah, but nothing. What are you going to do? Are you going to give them a new heart? What are you going to do? What is the motive for our withholding the children's bread to those that oppose themselves, that blaspheme this truth? Now, I'm not talking about just ignoring preaching to somebody. I'm telling you, I want to preach the gospel to every creature. I want to tell you the truth. I want you to hear. You must hear. If you don't believe this gospel, you're going to perish. I will too. But if someone says, I'm not going to hear that, I'm not going to hear it anymore, I'm leaving. What do? You obey God. That's what you do. Our motive to give not that which is holy unto dogs, those that have opposed the gospel and have forsaken it and will not hear it, will not bow to it. Our motive for obeying what the Lord says is our love to Him. That's His word is true, not ours, not our thinking, not our fickle. No. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Our motive is not to elevate ourselves over others and take the word of God and try to use it as a whip or try to use it as a tool or even tone it down. Our motive is obedience to the Lord. Who knows best, us or Him? Listen to what we've read before, what happened when many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Many of them were following Him in John chapter 6. And He said, no man can come unto me unless it were given unto him of my Father. And that hard saying right there motivated them to walk no more with Him. What did He do? Did He apologize? He called them and said, well, just hang on just a second. Let me say it again. Wait, maybe you misunderstood me. Maybe you don't understand exactly what I meant. What did He do? Compromise the message? He turned to His 12 and He said, will you also go away? And you know that's when Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This is what a believer says. Though He slay me, I'm going to trust Him. His word is precious. It's not going to return unto Him void. We know that He's going to call out His sheep. We know that. I thought about that prodigal, that boy. Came to his dad that day. Give me what's coming to me. Give me what's due. And I'm out of here. Let me ask you this. How many nights, sleepless nights, do you think that dad had? How many times do you think he was tempted to find that boy and try to talk to him? See if he could talk him into coming. What happened? The scripture says he came to himself. What a beautiful picture of a vessel of God's mercy being wrought upon by the Spirit of God. God called him out. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not of us. And we've got loved ones. I got them and you got them. And I do love them. I love them. Like I said, those in my family, I got grandchildren that I'd love to be, you know, what do? I preach the truth to them. But if they will not hear, I don't compromise. I can't compromise with them. We don't give that which is holy unto dogs, those that have stood and opposed. We don't cast our pearls before swine. We don't take His gospel and compromise. His word is it's fire. It's a hammer. God's going to do what God's pleased to do. The scripture says in Proverbs 9:18, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Hebrews 10:28-29, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought, he thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified to be an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Last scripture right here, 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 5. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. We have something very precious. It's the Word of God. The Word of the Lord that has been given and placed in earthen vessels. It's a precious thing, a holy thing. And we preach the gospel to every creature. And we pray that God bless it. That's what the Lord taught his disciples. When you pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I pray that God bless it. I pray that the Lord bless the word. I pray that he call his people out of darkness. I pray he does. But I know this, only the Lord can. And he has instructed me, you, concerning those that oppose themselves and blaspheme his word, will not hear it, will not come, will not, they'll leave. I'm going to go back to my vomit, and I'm not going to hear what you have to say. What do you do? It's not left up to me to decide. I can tell you what the Lord said. Don't you give that which is holy unto dogs. You leave them alone. You leave him alone. And if God's pleased, he's going to do what he did to that boy, that prodigal. He's going to cause him to come to himself. And it's going to be proven that salvation was of the Lord. And I'm not going to get any glory for it. I go over there and I can try to talk you into a, you know, some kind of a, whatever, religious experience. And come, what good did I do you? The Lord said you leave him alone. God's going to save his people. And I'm going to rest right there. I pray that the Lord bless this truth to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.